city council's up on the dais.
Robert, are you not?
We need an adult.
You're not going to record, are you?
Yeah. Always good. Yes, oh, we need this being recorded.
Why is that?
We're in the room.
Because some people can't be here, and I want them to be able to get the benefit of this agenda presentation.
Okay.
Robert is always very adamant about recording the.
I know, but at one of the meetings, you were not allowed to record because people were uncomfortable.
Well, I deferred. Okay. I've learned better since then.
Well, he just put the recorder in his pocket. It was still on.
Would you not record me? Would you be able to not record me?
I can try. It's a little hard. Just let me know before you raise your hand or something, I guess.
Because I would just really prefer having the freedom to not be recorded, especially in the political. Dawn's raising her hand too, Drew. Especially in the political climate we're in. I would prefer to be able to speak without feeling like the content of what I say is going to possibly be shared with other people, that I'm not going to feel comfortable about that.
The problem with that is that you never know whether that's going to happen or not, because people can record privately, and I'd rather much do it publicly and be clear about it. And also, I think people need to have this as, I think if you come out here, you have to be responsible for what you say. I mean, you can have a private conversation with Drew elsewhere.
It is very true, and I don't plan on talking about anything super secret stuff either ways.
Okay.
So, but if it becomes an issue or there's a majority of people that don't want the conversation recorded this evening, then we can always turn it off. So we could do a show of hands as to how many people are opposed to having this evening's conversation recorded. Three.
I'm not voting, I'm not staying. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, so then.
Did you raise your hand, Robert? I didn't.
No, so okay. The nays have it. Okay. All right, so moving on to stuff. Thank you for bringing it up, and I want to make sure that people are comfortable, but at the same time, if you want to have super secret conversations with me, you're more than welcome to contact me and we can have that conversation.
It isn't much that, is I don't want to be put on the media.
Oh,
I don't want it broadcast on a station, because I feel like part of why I'm here is to do kind of thinking and strategizing, and I would rather not have that be totally public.
So,
I feel like if people
so
want to come
want,
here,
want
they
the
should
three
come
people
here
that
to hear
to
what's
Robert
going
Sticks.
On.
So,
but anyway, that's okay. I've been voted down. I'll just be
careful. You can
careful
be cruel, Scott.
We have Robert.
Yeah, Serge and I came. We didn't necessarily have anything we wanted to talk about that was on the city council agenda for Tuesday.
Okay.
But we wanted to ask you if it would be possible to get basically a refresher of the basically the 2019 city citation records from the police department. Just to basically have an update from the ones that you requested last time from 2018, just from today.
Oh, so like from January to August or whatever,
yeah.
January to September?
Yeah.
Let me open up a notepad really quick.
Good idea.
There's just been some, trying to nail down whether or not, some things that Andy Knoll says about how many people are getting cited for certain things are actually based in fact or not.
Right, yeah.
Well, there are usually other laws to cite homeless people instead of giving them a tampon ticket. They give them a littering ticket or a trespassing ticket or...
So maybe if you're requesting it, just all of the citations for anything in the city.
So updated report in a filter
Excel.
Yeah, filterable Excel, because they gave me a spreadsheet last time, but it was a static spreadsheet, and I was like, well, how am I supposed to
an
work with
an actual Excel file?
Yeah, report. An update report on citation and enforcement with regards to which
just
one?
All. Just all. I can sort it myself. I just want to have all of the information.
From January 2019 through
whatever,
September
present,
2019
yeah.
or the most current in Excel spreadsheet.
I'll share that with you. Can I share that with you?
Sure, of course.
Able to be filtered. I will work on that. I'll send that today. Thank you very much. Also,
you want to give it a
No, that's good. Rafa, are you leaving too? Did you happen to create that thing that we talked about?
I have not had a chance.
Okay, when you get a chance, I'm looking for that because I have some other things that I'm going to cross-reference and do some other things with. So, thank you very much. Have a great day. Thanks for being here for that request. Lee.
This doesn't seem to be complete. It doesn't deal with oral communications or what happens after that.
Oral communications takes place at the end of the afternoon agenda. You'll notice at the very end of the agenda, right before adjournment, it says that pulled up here.
Oral communications.
Well, it says at the beginning.
It's right here.
Yeah, right.
So there's no evening session? Is
there
that
is
what
no
I'm...
evening session.
Oh, okay.
It's at the end of the afternoon session.
There's no evening session in observation of Yom Kippur.
So why are only Christian and Jewish holidays recognized?
Because it was the direction or policy set by the city. So if there's another holiday that you think should be acknowledged or observed...
Well, I think if they're going to do one religious holiday, they should do them all. I mean, you know, Buddha, Native American holidays, you know, whatever.
I feel you on that one, okay, so...
Either do none of them or do them all.
I like it. Let me get a question here, then.
So regarding this stuff with the ordinances...
like Halloween, right? That's a great holiday, but we don't have the day off.
Robert?
Or the day after. Actually.
Regarding the ordinances, break in there. Facetious comments.
What time will this censure motion be coming? Because I think everybody's expecting after 7.
That's a good question. I mean, it really depends on how many things get pulled from the consent agenda and
pull
discuss
everything.
The general business. Yeah, it's just...
She said next door says it's people are called, come around 5 is what they're coming for.
Who said that?
Keith sent me an email that said next, I think it's next door has stated that come around 5 in order to watch the hanging or the
It starts at 11:40 for the morning session or whatever, and then there's the stuff in the consent agenda, which I haven't looked at yet, and that comes up to be item 20, up to 20. And then the public hearing for 110 Cooper Street in the Kaiser Permanente building, which is kind of a big deal. I haven't had a chance to respond back to the representative.
The Kaiser Permanente wants to...
And then the center conversation. So it may be around 5, but let's go through the consent agenda and look at what's there and see if there's anything that we need to focus on specifically.
Before you do, just finish what we were saying before, having to do with the ordinances that Rafa has asked about. There's also the issue of the proposed sleeping ban camping ordinance that, you know, is currently being, considered by the city attorney?
I'm not sure.
That hasn't come up yet. Well, all these ordinances, you know, were thrown into closed session, and I've asked if you could get these pulled out into open session. You know, restored.
Jane, hey, I love you guys. We're trying to have a conversation. You can step outside if you want, and then totally can have that conversation. You're saying?
Yeah, I mean, they were originally in open session. They belong in open session, and... I know you tried to keep them in open session successfully, but I'd like to see you make another attempt to restore them to open sessions based upon the consideration that they were there and that it's a matter of real open public concern. You're going to be told it's a liability issue too, but the city community needs to know what's going on, not just the city attorney and his staff cohorts when they decide to tell the city council what to do in closed session.
Okay. I'm not sure how to
bring it up on the mayor's favorite motion for the next meeting, which say that I'd like to move the next meeting. These matters all be on the agenda.
Robert, We have this literally, we have this conversation every 2 weeks. If you have language that you would like for me to look at and potentially submit, it is, because it's not what I said I want to do. And you can either respect my approach and the way that I want to go about it, or you can stop asking.
What kind of language do you want? In other words, how extensive language do you need?
What you just said, what you like for me
to... So just two sentences should do it for you?
Sure, or whatever it is you want to...
if I turn that in... Before this council meeting, will you bring it up as
if I have time to format it into an agenda report? And I told you, if I need it in a form of agenda report to submit it for an agenda. So if you would like to either work with it, work with me, work with my...
And we're talking about this council meeting. And so what I'm saying, obviously, to you is not for an agenda report to Watkins.
Right. You want me to make a motion to force something onto the next agenda, which I have refused to do already. I've told you
that. And you don't need an agenda report to do that. You know that, right?
I need an agenda report to try to get something on the agenda. Yes, I do.
Not if you make a motion.
Not if I do it through your means.
Correct.
I told you that I'm not going to do it that way until we try it first, and then it doesn't work, and then I'm happy to do it that way. Literally, every 2 weeks we have the same conversation. So if you want to work on creating an agenda report with me, then I would be happy to submit it after I review the language.
Okay, then the next question I have for you is this. You said to me that you need a week in advance of the 2 weeks to get this agenda report to you, because that's what you mentioned in the conversation we had on, I guess it was either at the Huff meeting.
I would like to be able to have time to look at the language you're suggesting, review it, and then add my own takes to it. I have an incredibly busy schedule with two jobs and other extracurricular activities, so I'm not going to receive it and then invest who knows how much time doing it the night or the tub.
Okay, so just so we clearly understand, it's not just you need this 2 weeks in advance, now you need it 3 weeks in advance. Is that correct?
It doesn't need to be in advance.
The question is, are you willing to work with him on creating this, Robert?
Yeah, and I'm going to well, no, obviously you're not, because I've asked you for it for over a month now when you keep bringing this up. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. We're going to move on to the next
meet with you on Wednesday, then, to discuss this agenda item. Are you up for that?
I don't know about Wednesday. I don't appreciate that. How about we compare schedules and figure out a time where we can get together that works for both of our times, not you just saying, well, Wednesday, then.
Sure.
It's like...
When do you want... But if you can give me some time, we can do it, that's fine. I just feel like it's brushed aside every time.
No, I give you specific instructions on if you want it to happen, on what to do, and you fail to do it every time.
I called you several times.
I didn't ask you to call me.
I also emailed you, and I asked you to get back to me on the issue. You did call back, and I then called you back, and that was a week ago, and I heard nothing from you since then. And I've actually prepared something. This is the email that I sent you. I'll give you another copy of it.
Yeah, I'm booked up on Wednesday, as you can see up there on the screen, with my calendar.
Thursday,
I'm available after 4, so if you want to get together after 4, but this is taking up meeting time, Robert. We can do this
all right, between 4, I'll see you then at 4 on Thursday.
No, I said after 4 I'm available, so I get off work at 4. So
whenever it's convenient for you on Thursdays.
Okay, let's do 4:30. And do you want to meet here, or do you want to meet at the coffee shop, or what would you prefer?
Your choice.
How about we meet
when you read the second page?
Here.
You should read it all the way to the last one, because even the last one is really similar.
Thank you.
Yes, I wish we could do that without it being so frustrating. And just... But if that's the way you want to operate. So we have moving on to the rest of the agenda. So there's the closed session stuff with the different liability claims and existing litigation, real property negotiations. None of that is really relevant. Moment, since we can't talk about it anyway.
Can you show us the staff agenda on the open session for the litigation? Because that'll tell us whether some of us want to show up at the closed session. In other words, they will say who is doing the request.
You mean the files that will be attached to the thing?
Correct. There's no files attached to the closed session, but if you look at the city attorney's report on the open session, you'll see that files are attached. But describe the litigation.
Do you have a... Where is that?
It would be item...
Right after additions and deletions. It's part of item one.
I think it's the city, isn't it the city attorney report on closed session?
After the roll call, ledger reviews and...
Right after...
25-year service plan.
It's near the bottom of the page, city attorney's report on closed session.
There's no...
No, but if you look on the actual agenda...
It's not clickable, Robert.
I'm at the agenda right now. You can look on the screen and follow along, Robert. City attorney's report on closed session.
Right, sure. I'm sorry. Keep going down.
It's not clickable.
Liability claims. Go back to number 4-5. There you go. Thank you. My concern usually is whether there's any police abuse stuff going, and that has to do, here's an example, Deborah Workman. Okay, and I take it that she hasn't contacted you directly on any of these issues. I haven't heard from her either, but I may mention. No.
If you speak with her, you can encourage her to reach out and let me know what's going on.
Do you know where they are?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Page 7. Alrighty, thanks for bringing that up. Alright, so the consent agenda, there's the minutes, there's the advisory body nominations for the Santa Cruz County Hazardous Advisory Commission, motion to nominate Rob Young. I don't know Rob Young.
He's the highest paid person in the city of Santa Cruz.
What does he do?
Fire battalion chief.
So he takes in over $350,000 a year in salary and benefits.
So he's ahead of Jason, the battalion chief?
No, battalion's less.
Less than Jason, okay.
Usually the highest paid guy is the guy who gets the most overtime.
Yeah.
Okay, any reasons why he would not be good on the Hazardous Advisory Commission?
I don't know. Is he getting overtime to be on it?
I was going to ask the question, is he getting paid to be on this, and how many hours does it take?
Is that overtime pay? Because overtime pay is even more than regular time pay.
Okay, so this is item 4.
The catch, Ingrid Trejo quit the catch, so the city... Susie said they're asking the city attorney what they should do. I would hope that they don't just say, we don't want anyone because it would be too hard to get somebody else on the catch.
That would be ridiculous. What did she give a reason as to why she left?
Robert.
Sorry to stop the conversation. She was in the CAO's office working for Rainey.
Uh-huh.
She didn't want to be doing that anymore, so she backed out of that, but at the same time backed out of the catch thing.
Oh, okay. Scottie's,
you know Stoney? Little
Brooke?
Guy?
Stoney Brooke? Yeah.
He also applied. So I think he would fit in there nicely.
Okay. Yeah.
Scott, you're going to say something?
Oh, I just nominated Robert for that position.
Oh. Does the person get paid? Will they be getting overtime? If so, question mark.
Are you all standing up because you're leaving? Or
yeah, I'm leaving. They're just hanging out for as long as they can.
I was just going to ask the one question. Just on the general schedule, is it supposed to be done before dark or something because it's Yom Kippur or mm-hmm. something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hard stop at 6:30.
Is that what they said, really?
That's what the city attorney said.
I was going to look at that when the sun set that day.
Yeah. Let's see here. Sunset. What is that, October?
6:51,
yeah.
Y-O-U-K-I-P-P-U-R, I think.
Yep.
Could you spell it again?
Y-O-M-K-Y-I-P-P-U-R.
641.
641.
Capital Y.
Resolution approving various employee groups and memorandum of understanding for HR negotiation stuff, I would imagine. Yep. Resolution amending the Santa Cruz personnel complement and classification and compensations plans for the police department, fire department, some more union stuff. Executive employee compensation benefits plan, which I, well,
I would like to take, I'm going to pull that and actually show some slides and just show how much these folks are making. And
which, seven or eight?
Eight.
Eight. Does seven involve an increase in costs to the city?
Yes.
How much?
Probably 10% or something.
And involves new positions?
Over 3 years, 10% over 3 years. And the executives got the same thing, too.
And that's because you gave all the underlings 10% over 3 years?
We argued against
that. Oh, I know. I'm not blaming you.
I know. You guys.
So number seven and number eight are totally related? Who are the executive employees?
The executive employees are people like Martine Bernal.
Okay.
And stuff. Yeah, and so we are, let me see here, what's in closed session? Closed session is legal counsel, property negotiation stuff. Yeah, so it's not even going to talk about it in closed session. Okay, so number eight will get taken, but not by me. Resolution amending the cities or whatever. Adoption of Biarritz, France as a friendship city. I'm going to turn this off.
Thank you.
Drew, can you consider bringing up in closed session the issue that, Rafa and Serge were talking about, at least maybe it's not the same thing, but the idea of bringing up to date the data and also bringing the data and the analysis back into open session. And the reason I suggest you do a closed session is because that's apparently where it is now.
Well, it's not on the agenda, so I can't.
But maybe you can mention it as a matter of oral communications at that session. Or
there are no oral communications at that session. There's public comment on things that are on the agenda for closed session, but there's not a position in there. So again, it's something that would have to be submitted in the form of an agenda report and requested to be put on an agenda, and then maybe they'll put it in closed session, in which place I can talk about it. But
I mean, I would suggest if you tried to do it and you're struck down, that would be one thing.
I already know what's going to get struck down because it's not on the agenda, Robert. Well, see, I told you I'd do it. Bye, y'all. Okay, so do we know? I mean, Friendship City? Sure. I don't know. Not a big deal. Let me just see what it says really quick. The agenda report says. March 2015, during an official visit to Santa Cruz, the French Consul General met two members of the Sister Cities Committee and suggested that this place be a candidate for a friendship city or a sister city. Agreed to both explore candidate cities, form a subcommittee, decided on this. It's a world-class resort community sharing significant commonalities, including... I mean, just because it has a lot of the same stuff that we do, why are we becoming a sister city to it?
What is the meaning of a city becoming one of our friendship cities? What does that entail?
Sending delegations back and forth.
Are they paid for by us?
Subsidized by the city, I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
How much?
I have problems with a European white city that's highly professional in the same areas that we are. Just necessarily being put on here without some understanding of what's going on. For example, the Global South seems like an important place for us to partner with and to try to understand in terms of really pressing issues like climate change, refugees, farming, food security, and stuff like this. So my question is like, who decides this? What's the basis of a friendship city? Why do we want the city? It's not so much that I necessarily object to it as much as what's the point?
Chris?
I don't think we should exhaust a lot of, I mean, the staff report, it was put forward by three people on the Sister Cities Committee. A lot of times these folks raise money and stuff. They don't spend a lot, but I think we should ask that question, how much is this costing us? But that seems to be the only critical
It says it right here that it's of minimal impact, but they would potentially raise additional funds to offset expenses incurred by formal exchanges. Sister Cities Support is a nonprofit partner in advancing cultural exchange for Santa Cruz Sister Cities. I think it would behoove a comment at least to say, you know, like, how are we making these
Yeah, how did
decisions?
It come about? Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's really what I'm asking.
Well, that's a friendship city compared to a sister city, which I don't even. How many friendship cities do we have? Does it say that work?
That's a good question.
How many cities in Africa, India, Colombia, Brazil?
We don't want to go there. We want to go to Biarritz. Come on.
Well, see, Cadillac had a Biarritz model at one time.
The name Ritz. The Ritz is right in the name.
Right.
It should be suspect.
But yeah, it was a Cadillac model for a number of years. So I think that could be a part of the inspiration.
It might sound like I'm just working to be combative. I'm really not.
You are too.
I'm trying to understand. What values are they valuing in their cultural exchanges?
Well, yeah, that's why I mentioned all these other countries that we don't have any relationships
with. Exactly. We have a list of the cities that we do have these relationships
with. That's what I put up here. What is a full list of the sister cities and the friendship cities of Santa Cruz?
If you go to the, when you come in off 17, there's a list there, too.
Say it again.
When you come in off 17, there's a sign that says, welcome to Santa Cruz, and give lists of the sister cities.
I'll rush right over. It's right there by the little Masonic emblem.
Yeah.
Right. Homeless go home.
Santa Cruz Friendship City.
We have one in Nicaragua. We have one in Italy. We have one in Xingu in Japan.
Sarajevo.
One in Russia. There's one in Russia, Alushta. I think there's nine altogether, eight or nine.
Sister cities?
Yeah.
I bet it's Soweto.
Are you an elf? You just appeared. I didn't even see you come in.
Huh?
Yeah, I didn't see you come in.
Yeah.
I've been
nice
hiding under the table the whole time.
Oh, right. Okay, so that was item 10. Okay. Item 11, Office of Traffic Safety Selective Traffic Enforcement Program
one
Grant
of these,
Acceptance.
Entrapment programs where the cops hide and try to get people that are.
No, they say they offset it for like the schools, I think they said that some of this money was going to help fund traffic safety around schools getting out. To improve roadway safety, get the grant funding, provide a high level of proactive enforcement, three full-time officers in the traffic division. Grant funding will be overtime hours for traffic enforcement, focus on school zones surrounding bell time, strategic enforcement of locations with high history of collisions, and nighttime enforcement during weekends targeting drivers under the influence. Provide support equipment, including speed enforcement, DUI testing equipment. Finally, the funding will fully fund sending three officers to traffic enforcement college. $75,000 in grant funds when they're awarded, no local match required. Marv.
I think this is a step in the right direction. I think it falls far short of what we need here in Santa Cruz, specifically just to cite one example. I walk an extensive amount in the urban area in San Francisco. I'm extremely familiar with the general habits of drivers crossing through these intersections. And I have witnessed repeatedly drivers moving into the crosswalk area without having the right of way. And it happens at a low rate of speed, a high rate of speed. It doesn't just happen at the school intersections. And although this is a step in the right direction, it's somewhat a little too focused in terms of what the city needs. I think, just generally speaking, an expanded program or laying the basis for potential expansion in the future would be a friendly addendum to this. And then, even expanding this further, I think that it would actually benefit the walking community at large if we were to, and I know this is somewhat going slightly off the page, but implement a significant fine. And I think you could actually link this with this idea with traffic enforcement, that if a driver is cited for crossing into a crosswalk at one of these enforcement zones, that there is a very significant fine, somewhere between on the order of $1,000 to $10,000. And I don't think that's out of line, because certainly $1,000 piques people's attention.
$10,000 is an alarm bell to the driving public. But my point being that there needs to be some sort of education program with teeth in it, financial teeth, that if you are cited in an enforcement zone or anywhere in Santa Cruz for that matter, that you will be subject to a mandatory fine. And so just to sum this, I'd like to suggest a fine in the enforcement zones that could be directed towards further expansion of the traffic enforcement program.
How about a warning first?
Well, I would say, I just want to reply to that.
For education.
Because certainly a warning first, that's a very generous idea, but the issue is that, you know, to become a driver in California, you have to go through some sort of driver education program, and then you need to go through a testing program with the DMV, and then you need to be, you're subject to various laws that, if broken, you go before a judge. Now, the problem is that there's such disrespect at this point in terms of these crosswalks and intersections in the city that it's just, it doesn't have any weight after our previous structures. And that in the city of Santa Cruz, with the walkers and the high preponderance of cars, we are really, and I've actually building into a substantive issue, there's a number of people in our community who've actually been hit by vehicles. And when you're hit by a vehicle, that's it, your life's over. So I don't mean to take off, I just want to reply to that, why not a warning? The reason is we're past the warning stage.
Thank you for that. Don? And
thank you.
I worked as a teacher, that was my career, and everybody hated the job of after school dealing with the kids and the cars and all, anything that you can do to bring safety, and it's never enough. It really is never enough. Sometimes it was just a madhouse. I mean, when I was at Del Mar Elementary, I mean, it was just, oh my goodness, it was coming this way, that way, and it was really scary. I just think that if we have an opportunity to bring more safety for kids and for the walking public, and I'm a walker too, I think that's really great.
Elisa and Robert.
Okay. I'm not going to reveal what happened to Marv since he's not revealing it, but I will say that we live at one of the busiest intersections where there's a lot of walkers in downtown Santa Cruz, and that's Pacific and Laurel, right near the Taco Bell. So I just want to say the problem with the no teeth and the lack of focus is, actually, I was almost killed. I had almost fully crossed the street. It was dark. And I go through the crosswalk now practically doing full revolutions because any car at any time is likely to come from any direction and hit me. They also don't necessarily care. It's become a real source of conflict, drivers, walkers. This also happens at the basic campus at university. But just to say, if I hadn't been sticking my neck out like this because there was enough space for another car, well, what actually happened that night is a woman blew through the red light. Mm-hmm. And if I had taken that step, instead of being overly, exceedingly careful, I definitely would have gotten slammed. I would have been, like, full-on slammed. Okay, so what I'm just trying to say is what I think is going on is the city is not only not enforcing traffic safety, there is a willingness and an abundant, I think the police probably know a lot about how many people are getting hit, what kind of people these drivers are, that they're hit and running maybe. So what I'm starting to think with what's been happening, especially over the last few months, that we're observing is that there's an enormous problem. The police don't they don't hand people tickets. So if a person's hit, and let's say they make it to the other side of the street, the police will come to the scene if they're called, but they don't necessarily issue. So then you're waiting weeks, who knows how long, for an actual report of some kind. And this was when the driver fully had been parked at the intersection, and then at some point, at the wrong time, decided to just go through the intersection, hit this person, and there was absolutely no ticket issued. So I'm suspecting that this is happening quite a bit.
Thank you. Brother?
I'm just wondering, is there Are there as much camera technology being used to take photos of people who go through lights? And also, what's the status of facial recognition software that if the police are using that, do you have any information about that, or do you, Chris?
I don't. I know that there's at least one individual that is actively working to address the issue of facial recognition on a policy level. So
Who's that?
I don't know. I don't want to say because there was multiple councilmembers in the room. I don't know who's already spoken to who. So, Lee.
ACLU will oppose it. We're having a facial recognition seminar in October. It's either the 25th or the 26th. We're going to bring down a board supervisor who got that ordinance passed in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Oakland and Berkeley have also passed ordinances. We're going to have the Electronic Frontier Foundation guy and a guy from Northern California, ACLU. And our intent is to form a group that will propose an ordinance for the city to pass that will ban the use of facial recognition in any police cameras, dash cams, body cams. And if they start showing up in other places, then we would be opposed to those.
All right. Well, then there is that answer with regards to the work that's already happening on it or anticipated to happen. Okay, so
I want to put it.
Nicholas.
Yeah. I was not usually a driver, but I am now a driver. The car was gifted to me. I've driven in Oakland, San Francisco, and Sebastopol, Sonoma County recently. And I haven't had those kinds of problems, but in Santa Cruz, I do have these problems. I think it's to do with the design of the traffic flow in Santa Cruz. It is unusually tight, and there are a large number of bikes and pedestrians. I think the whole thing has to be looked at as a structural problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just passed my vision test at the DMV, so I know I'm seeing straight.
Good for you.
I think it's so bad that we really need traffic attendance at peak hours when the danger is unusually high, and especially because of the lighting of the sun slanting in. Makes it really difficult to see both directions.
I really love this extended conversation on traffic safety. The item here specifically is this grant and the application of it. But since it does seem to be a robust topic amongst the group, if you're interested in working with me to either construct some questions that we can pose to Public Works and Transportation that we can get some answers to, or if there's a specific action that you think we should take, then let's work together on creating that agenda item. But right now I'm going to move forward if that's okay with everyone. Really appreciate that perspective though, Nicholas, especially from a walker to a driver and that transition. Okie dokie. Cedar Street Rehabilitation Project. Motion to accept contract to work with Granite Rock in San Jose as completed plans per specification. Just clicking on that really quick and see what we got.
It's like they went over 233,000.
233,952.
So they're asking for, an amendment, I guess.
Because we'll increase the contract amount to $2.4 million. So they went over by 233,000.
Yeah.
And it's slightly over 10% of construction contingency. The additional funds requested for this project come from the funds already allocated to pavement rehabilitation. There's no impact to the general fund. And this is Cedar Street, so that's what's been going on. Rehabilitation, Cedar Street. I'm just trying to think of where.
It's the farmer's market, that whole, maybe put in all that cement.
Oh, right.
Pergolesi's, they cut down a tree in front of a house, a big tree. They also took out a big tree on Pergolesi Drive, but that was more to do with Pergolesi's. But one of the things I'm really curious about is I see Granite Rock trucks everywhere, all the time, and they sure have a lot of money coming to them. Do we?
Nationwide.
They're nationwide?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
They're the biggest
road builders
in the country.
What? Oh, they're the biggest what?
Road builders in the country.
They bought up a bunch of other companies nationwide.
So we're going to come over here to Lee?
If we're talking about that concrete they poured between the Red Church and the farmer's market,
yeah,
I watched that pour. That's 8 inches thick concrete. I was asking the guys, what, are you planning on landing a 747 here? You know, 4 inches of concrete is pretty standard for a sidewalk. He said, I'm just doing what I told him to do.
The public works director told me that there's low water table there and they have to do that.
Oh.
And it's a main, like, emergency street and all this
low
stuff.
Low water table?
Which is kind of interesting, you know, global warming and stuff.
I mean, high water table.
The water's high there. That's why they don't cement.
High water, okay.
Well, I don't make a habit of keeping track of how thick they pour concrete in the street, but it was really overkill from my builder's perspective.
Some say that there was an excessive amount of concrete used for the pour, approximately 8 inches. Why was, can you confirm that? As an email I'm going to send, can you confirm that?
Or deny.
How many inches?
And if so, why so much concrete?
Okay. It took frickin' forever.
Oh boy, did it. We got Scott.
My problem with this project and other projects around town is they're digging up the old curb cuts for wheelchairs, putting in new ones with these yellow dots. I have never met an elderly person or a person in a wheelchair that likes those yellow dots. Somehow, the company that makes those things got Sacramento and Washington, D.C. to force that down everybody's throats. And I think that we should take a stand against it. No more yellow dots in the wheelchair curb cuts.
ADA compliant detectable.
It's not smooth. They prefer it smooth?
The old ones had little ridges.
Okay.
This one says it's for visually impaired.
The yellow ones, like people in a wheelchair that have very little muscular, they get thrown all over the place.
Yeah, this one says it's for visually impaired folks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And they don't like it either.
We'll come back. Well, thank you for that.
They don't see it.
No, they trip over it.
What caused,
did they really tell you that?
To go?
Yeah, I have a neighbor that's flat.
Over budget.
And a friend that's flat. And neither one of them like it. I ask people all the time when I'm near one of those things, old people or people in wheelchairs, I ask them all the time, do you like these yellow dots? Nobody has said yes.
Surface conditions. It says that the contractor needed to perform extra construction work not included in the contract due to unforeseen subsurface conditions. What does it mean? Quote.
Well, it means that they didn't do a soils report before they did it, and once they started working, they found out things that they could have easily found out in advance.
And what's the name of that report?
A soils report.
S-O-I-L-S.
Soil.
It asks to see the soils report.
Right. Was there a soil report done before beginning construction?
It's like Santa Cruz has been here for over 100 years. It's like somebody should know that part of the world has got a problem.
Well, all of downtown has that same problem.
I mean, it's not just asking for, you know, about was the soils report done, but can we see the soils report?
If so,
a member of the public is requested to see the soils report.
Oh, no, it's going to be, I want the soil report. The soil report.
Give me the soil report.
Was there a soil report done before beginning construction? If so, please provide me with the soil report.
Can you give Robert Norris the soils report?
No, Lee. Blame Lee. He's the one.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make this as brief as I can. Hold me to it.
Thank you.
I really feel that one of the things that's just, I see it come up over and over on all these different items here is, we don't have any updated values that have, like, happened since, like, 1960, like, Earth Day and the ecological movement and all this environmental design. The way this stuff is being done is just, I mean, I'm seeing trees just being cut. I talked to the tree guy who cut the tree, And he gave me his reason, and he said he likes trees too, but the tree looked perfectly healthy to me before they cut it. I'm just saying that I think that we need to start trying to find ways proactively with your general report, some way that works, to try to reorient ourselves to an entirely different way of looking at our land, our soils, our structures. Like, for example, that intersection, since we've been having this talk, I'm envisioning an intersection with that's really pedestrian friendly.
Well, and let's work on that.
It looks very different than what we have. So I'm just saying, these things seem so boring and cut and dry, but when we really get into them and we're thinking about them, we could have a place that was actually really environmentally friendly and people friendly. But how do we do that when we're crammed into this agenda? So
Downtown Garden Mall, perhaps.
Oh, wait,
we tried that.
Okay.
All right, so now we're going to move on to the Pacific Gas and Electric request for easements or licenses at city corporate yards related to electric vehicle charging infrastructure. Why not? First reading of the ordinance and second reading of the ordinance regarding small cell wires facilities. Continue to November 2016. Council meeting will not be discussed. The second reading of ordinance will be further continued to align. So then, is this just a vote to continue?
Yeah.
I don't get it, but
let's see here.
Had we asked that it be on this agenda?
First reading of the ordinance is continued to November. Yeah, so it's just to continue it. The second reading of the ordinance will be further continued and will not be discussed. We have Marvin and Lee.
Yeah, I just want to interject a quick comment into this 5G situation. I mean, this health effect discussion is definitely substantive. It's ongoing. And just as a side update, the city of Mill Valley voted not to allow 5G, and this is actually taking place on a city-by-city basis, and it's plausible that Santa Cruz could as well take a decisive stand against 5G, even though it seems...
That's not what this is, though.
Well, no, it isn't, but it's small cell facilities.
So I'm going to pause you there, Marv. I really want to know all about that, but we should do another time because we're on a time clock here. Yeah. Lee?
I would ask to see a report of any trees that are going to be destroyed to grant PG&E this easement, and try to have them do their underground work without taking out trees.
Here's the map. Jesus.
So, okay.
How do I read you?
That's a PG&E map. You want a map?
Yeah, but I just want to know where this is. So it's the Corpyard, 1125 River Street. Yeah. Oh, there's some trees, look at that.
Incidentally, there are some trees.
Okay, so that's the courtyard there. And so then if we look at the...
What building are we looking at?
Yeah.
Existing parking lines, existing building.
Oh,
shit.
I drive an electric car. I'm all for charging stations. It's just a question of PG&E will do whatever the hell they want to, unless
you're already underground.
Wait, Scott, come on. We got to wait till he's done and then talk about underground utilities. Go ahead.
No, I just work with PG&E frequently, and they can be really difficult.
Scott?
Well, the street utilities are undergrounded there already.
So this will be totally
different.
Where
they're going from and where they're going to.
And then the thing is for charging stations, so I don't know where the easement is. I can't read this. Like, I don't know where, what the orientation is. North is north, so then there's a building north, so I don't know which way is north.
Over on the right-hand corner,
this?
You'll see a little, there you go. That'll tell you which way north is.
Rotate to view. Oh, this is north then.
Oh, like this isn't the compass.
This is north. Red is north, right? So
where the heck are we?
There's the courtyard here.
Okay.
Cemetery.
So if we're looking at the map, still, I have no idea. PG&E Transformer, existing Bullard, it's up here, so existing Transformer, existing parking lines. So then I would guess that it's here, if I had to guess, because the building's down here.
Yeah, I don't see any trees, so I'm
sorry. Well, they're at the curb, but it doesn't look like maybe.
I will ask, and this is item 13.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
Will there be tree removal with the installation of the charging stations?
And if there are trees removed, do we have a commitment that they'll be replaced?
Okay, got it. Copy that. Moving right along. The small cell. Okay, so end of the consent agenda there. Then resolution declaring October Cooperative Month in the City of Santa Cruz and provide city support for the development and growth of local workers' cooperatives. That's some good forward motion.
That's good.
Let's just see here who brought it.
Sandy and Justin.
Sandy and Justin. Nice.
What item are you on?
15.
How come we skipped over 14?
Wasn't that the ordinance one?
That's just the first read.
It's rescheduling the...
They're not even doing it.
It's taken off the agenda.
It's already been taken off.
That's what the motion is, to move it to another agenda. Alright, so declaring the thing of the thing. Sounds good. The resolution is here if you want to read it at your leisure. We can always come back to it. Also, Chinatown Bridge naming and proposed art project.
Hang on. Is there an educational component to that? Cooperative celebration. Some public education about co-ops, but we have quite a few.
Watch lots of Richard Wolf on YouTube.
Recognize October as Cooperative Month as the first step for supporting cooperative movement locally. The city can also help community members interested in pursuing cooperative businesses, transitions, or expansions through partnerships. No fiscal impact. Support will be in the form of a dedication of staff time and available resources to help facilitate the development and outreach activities and technical assistance.
Okay. It's pretty thorough.
Right.
For the worker cooperative movement. No. Okay.
Residential rental inspection service. Oh, wait. Chinatown Bridge and our project. Pedestrian bridge over the San Lorenzo River, the Chinatown Bridge.
Are you on number 17 now?
16.
We are on number 16.
15, okay.
16.
Yeah. When you get to 17, that's the mover I can hear.
Okay. So, let's see. There's that. There's the background about it. Former residents and the culture of the community played a prominent role in shaping Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. Chinatown Bridge, naming an installation of a memorial marker or public art display. Mm-hmm. Well, wouldn't they be worried about blocking the
traffic?
Blocking the
pedestrian?
Yeah, it seems like putting up any kind of a marker.
Distraction, people to run into the bridge.
Shouldn't we put it up by the Mission Plaza where people will actually be able to read it? Like,
yes.
It's ridiculous.
Well, now you have a precedent, man. You have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
They could put it on Branson 40 Creek Bikeway because that's actually where Chinatown was.
All the things they said about his plaque.
Yeah, the plaque that we wanted to get on the Water Street Bridge for all the reasons why they couldn't do it or why it was not going to work or why they needed to bring in other professionals or all this other kind of stuff. What is the status on that, by the way?
I don't know. It goes into the black hole for the city business.
Time to ask.
Yeah, so request an update. I can't do it on that one, but I'm going to send an email. Request an update on the Water Street plaque process and timeline.
You know, just as he's writing that, Drew put in a request for about gifts on this one. I think that was you. Because they gave us a stack of books of local history. J.M. Brown, no, Greg Pepping, who's on this, and you know, he gave us Jeff Dunn's book and Sandy Lydon's book and about five history books. And so came back, I was surprised at how high we can accept up to 400 or 500?
500.
$500 gifts. So any of you want to give us the $500 gifts, you can do that.
Without there being a conflict of interest.
No conflict of interest. I won't vote your way.
You're being recorded.
Yeah. What are we giving you this gift?
No, that's not true. And I was just joking. And I...
No, that's
not true. Yeah. Well, 500 is the limit, yes.
Yeah, for that.
Which is surprising to me. I think that enters a place where you can pay someone off, which it's crazy.
Arts manager, creation of the thing. Phase two could provide opportunities with other artists. Phase two, we continue the Chinese history of Santa Cruz, provide an opportunity for more involvement by Chinese and Chinese American artists. Man, I really wish that they cared as much about Black and Latinx.
Well, you know how many years she's been doing this.
It's good that it's making motion. I'm glad that we're
going to... No, this is good. Your thing is good.
George, I was pushing this for over 20 years.
I know. I can't believe it takes that long. It's really... props to George. I'm really glad that it's going to happen. And the Chinese...
Maybe support yours.
And the Chinese American folks really need to have that recognition, especially about their impact in the community. So, all right. We can move on if there's nothing else associated with that. On to number 17.
Number 17.
The one that Jane is the most interested in. Let's all speak very loud and enunciate so that she can hear it while we're talking about it.
There too, so I can hear things.
Okay.
I was trying to read, so I needed to do that.
Well, Chris, will you move your backpack?
Yeah, she can sit right there.
Whoever
wants. Thank you.
So this is the recommendation to accept the residential rental inspection services update and provide direction to prepare an ordinance that requires a real property report be prepared prior to the sale or exchange of any residential building, provide direction to expand the tenant outreach programs in the community to include other city departments and external partner agencies to inform the community of various tenant protections, and provide feedback on the potential temporary amnesty program for unpermitted units that do not currently have the potential to be legalized. Jane, you had something you wanna...
I could have just a motion to get rid of this, if anybody wants to second it, and we'll take another vote, because I would prefer it not being taped.
Motion by one, seconded by two, so this is
a
vote.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Yeah, you'll hear it just now. So now we're gonna vote whether or not to pause the recording during this conversation. All those please in favor, please raise your hand.
Yeah.
All right, the yeas have it. Please pause the recording.
Okay, I will do so on this occasion, but I don't believe this is a majority vote issue, but that's fine, I'll accept it.
Suggestions and recording has resumed. And
what number is that?
This is the 21. So 21, we have the agenda report. The recommendation is upholding the Planning Commission's acknowledgement of the environmental determination and approval of the administrative use permit based on the findings listed in the draft resolution and the conditions of approval attached as Exhibit A. So let's find Exhibit A. Exhibit A. Scott?
So I watched the Planning Commission meeting on this on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like everybody that objected to it because there's no parking next to this building. You know, there's very little street parking. But there's three parking lots within a block. You know, almost in every direction, there's within a block of the building, there's three parking structures. So to me, that argument that there's not enough parking is a moot point, because there is parking. There's three parking structures.
Oh, and we're going to have a new one, too.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, that was too far away.
Don't say that. Don't bring that.
We're not going to have that one.
Don't kill me.
Can I add something to what Scott's saying?
Yeah.
I've been watching the presentations by Rick Longinati and the professional consultants that come in that are talking about the parking that we have, and apparently there's a lot of parking that's just a little further out. In the downtown area, there's lots and roof parking and things that people don't know about, that don't get used, and the perception is that there's not enough parking when they would have to walk maybe three blocks one way or four blocks another way.
No, but this is right there. There's within a block of this.
Three
parking
structures. I'm adding to what you're saying.
I was at that meeting.
Well, I wanted to add to it because I would like to know more about exactly where these other parking lots are that don't get used, that get referred to.
They're not parking lots. They are metered parking spaces in the outskirts or outside areas of the city,
okay,
to my understanding. But also some of the more far out parking lots, but it's mainly meters from what the present I got from
there's
the presentation.
There's a little one behind Hula's.
I heard that one of them was like a roof parking, but maybe I got that confused.
I'm not sure. So the issue here is the Kaiser Permanente facilities and building. Parking, I'm not going to make a decision based off parking because we have plenty of parking and I don't want to build more parking.
Can you go back to that map for just a moment?
You don't want to build more parking.
So Kaiser Permanente has medical offices. Was there objection because there was no parking for that? It's right across from the parking garage, isn't it?
There's this one, but yeah, they're apparently trying to put it in at 110 Cooper Street.
So the Cooper Street.
And they
want to
have two floors.
Yeah, the second and fifth floors.
Yeah. So where's the nearest? I'm just trying to pick
the Galleria.
There's, you got to park in the Galleria
right
parking
there.
Spot over
yeah.
here. There's the parking facility here in this, and then there's this parking facility here. So there's three parking facilities.
And also behind Trader Joe's.
Yeah, they
which is not quite so available.
I hear there's parking at the other end too. There's apparently all around the edge.
Okay, so.
But anyway, what are they going to have to do to move in there? Are they going to have to alter anything?
No.
What are they doing?
Well, interior, yeah, they're going to have to build their whatever they want for their. You know, waiting rooms and observation booth and, you know, the straitjackets.
Are they planning to do have medical offices in
why
there?
Why
do
they get a
medical?
Oh, sorry, James. Excuse me.
Like a small, I mean, a, you know, outpatient things, or what's the idea that they're actually going to use it for?
The proposed use will provide a very valuable and necessary service for those living and working downtown. The proposed clinic's location will be easily accessible by foot or nearby office workers and residents. And there, this criticism from Product Ops Incorporated, which is located apparently in
the same building,
is saying that an additional 10,000 people per month will be visiting the building that currently houses perhaps 250, and they will not all be walking. Have any studies been undertaken to support this? What about ADA access? The elderly, the sick, the infirm will all need to either try to park cars in an area already over or underserved with parking spaces or get dropped off, effectively creating temporary double parking. Both of these potential problems were recognized at the April 3rd hearing with local architect John McKelvey requesting a dedicated loading space and be created for Kaiser patients to facilitate drop-offs. So who is the design person? Is it McKelvey?
Yeah.
Because I got a big, I already have a problem with it.
What was the name of that company right there that had that?
It is Product Ops Incorporated.
Product Ops. And what about this part, environmental determination gets a categorical exemption? Does that mean the environmental review, what's that called, the environmental impact report?
CEQA? I'm not 100% sure. Motion.
Maybe
so, Nielsen voted no. I requested this item be brought to the council for further discussion. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Made by Donna Myers was the request.
I have to go, but I just wanted to say, on this item, I have just questions. I don't get it. I met with the people. I walked around. The CEO is from San Jose. Not a great thing, but
Kaiser.
I ran into the guy from Product Ops. We had a 10-minute conversation. I see this as a way of getting people great views. And if that building's open to the public, I think more power to Kaiser for doing that. Because I was up there with these people, and the views are amazing. So that means when Kaiser's open, any of us can go up there. And they're good. You bring a friend to Santa Cruz, somebody visits. It's a great view of Santa Cruz. And why shouldn't patients have that
kind
of view?
Bring your takeout food and eat it up there?
Yeah, I don't know about that, if you can do that. But I just don't understand. The guy, he doesn't want anybody in his business, you know, and he doesn't want anybody coming into the building. And the building's been locked for years, and that's just the way it should be. I don't get that. I'm not saying I'm voting which way I'm voting. I'm just saying there's some questions that are really,
I
don't understand.
This is the person they want to rent from, and he's saying no?
No, person they want to rent from says, yes, somebody who's already renting there with 50 employees He owns a computer company. He does. He builds websites for people, and he's got 50 employees, which is sizable. And he rents half of the second floor. Kaiser's going to put their pharmacy on the other half, and then upstairs on the fifth floor, they're going to put 13 doctors and I don't know how many other staff people. Which they're going to be there for a long time too. That's another benefit. They're not a computer company that might be here today, gone tomorrow.
Right. Mm. Well, that's interesting to hear.
Lee,
Before we adjourn, I want to talk about item 22, second bullet point.
Item 22, second bullet point.
Aren't we going to talk about the big item at the end?
That's what Mark just said.
No, that's what Lee just said.
Lee just said.
I don't really want to talk about it. I mean, I don't know what benefit will come from talking about it. You're all welcome to meet with me or talk with me offline about it. But
would you want to bring it up? I would like to make sure that the staff people that work on this are none of the complaining employees.
That work on what?
They are the complaining employees.
Yeah,
they work on this respectful workplace conduct policy update.
To review and update as necessary.
No, I don't think they are. I think the committee is me and Drew and Cynthia Matthews.
Okay.
Oh, that's the committee?
Yeah.
For
updating the complaint, whatever that is.
Direct staff to review and update.
I have a feeling that the only three of us applied for it out of seven.
Everybody else didn't want to catch it.
Yeah. But I will say, they're... Picked us, man. Wow. Yeah, we finally got chosen for a committee.
See you later.
Love you all. Thank you for hanging in there.
So you're going to vote to spank yourself harder, right?
Do you?
Wait, just one thing very quickly about this Kaiser thing. Is that going to be a use, if it's approved, then they'll say, well, now we have to put the parking garage on the commons area?
No.
That's too far away.
No. They're going to move in somewhere downtown anyway. I think they want them to move into other spaces. And I don't really understand it all. I don't know if you had a chance to meet with Bonnie. I met with her, but I don't get what she's talking about, like trying to tell people where they can be and not be.
Well, Dante's wants to put something in, and they're saying we have to have a new garage. They're being told that they have to support the new garage. So
I just have a quick word about that thing I gave you.
Okay.
I'd like to say something on item 22.
Well, you're leaving the room and we're ending in 4 minutes. But, okay. So if you're interested in chatting about it, Don, if you want to schedule a phone conversation, we can even talk later tonight if you want to, about any ideas or input that you might have. I just don't think it will be a short or generative conversation if we all talk about it right now.
I have a question about the procedural business about this.
Uh-huh.
In other words, this is table to ask time. Is it a similar motion is made again? I assume it can be tabled again.
But to my understanding, it can be tabled again. And some people, I think, said that you might be able to table it with a block on bringing it back until a specific date or something like that. I'm not sure.
You know what the rationale for tabling it last time was?
I was involved in that discussion because
there was no discussion. I mean, just a tabling.
Well, but whoever decided to move on the tabling, I wasn't involved in that.
It was Sunny Sandy.
Right, I wasn't involved in strategizing.
Well, you haven't heard any of any?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Didn't have a background in that?
Lee, do you have any idea what the rationale for the tabling was last time?
I'm sorry, there's too much noise. I didn't.
The rationale for the tabling.
Everybody, we still have 2 minutes, and y'all started talking and having your own conversations. We're still talking about stuff. So.
Well, I thought you didn't want to talk about stuff.
I don't want to get into a long conversation about it, but people have some specific things they want to talk about over the next 2 minutes. Okay. So, but we can't talk because people are talking. You're welcome to step outside and have that conversation, though.
Yeah, I understand.
But Lee, or what were we saying?
I just had a question for Lee. I had a question for anybody. Does anybody have any clear indication of the specific rationale for the tabling last time of this item, and would that be likely to reoccur this time?
I would hope so.
I would hope so too.
But I hope that they would also say that it can't come back until after they have some sessions with the, counseling sessions, and everybody like that doesn't need a straitjacket has
I know that
made up.
I know that other people are advocating for like community members are saying it should be tabled just because it doesn't deserve the credence or the recognition of actually being discussed in any format or anything because it's such a
trivial matter.
Well, for some it's not so much a trivial matter, but I would say it is an inappropriate action to take while we're trying to move into this thing. And then like, what's the point if it's, you know, say it was going to get voted down anyway, what's the point of wasting time and energy and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, if I understand Yom Kippur, it's totally contrary to what Yom Kippur is all about.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Read about what
Day of Atonement.
It's the Day of Atonement to ask forgiveness for what you've done. But they want to twist the knife before they pull it out.
The website for stuff that becomes is on the back.
I have a problem with some of it. It says they being local unemployed people.
Was unavailable on that Tuesday. I meant to respond, but
that was like a intent, right? We meet in my house every Tuesday that's not a city council.
Before everybody went ahead.
Okay, well then I'll come to the one this coming Tuesday.
The petition to recall started before June.
I mean, not this Tuesday, but this coming Tuesday.
Well, can I book you for that?
Book me for that. I will
okay.
be there.
Thanks.
Your address.
I'll see you Thursday before 3.
I'll check it over.
Thank you.
Roland gave to me from the street. Hey, can I?
Can I write it on there? Where do you want me?
Before people adjourn, I really just want to have a word about this item 22.
Uh-huh.
Look, one of the reasons that I think that we want to consider tabling is, I want people to hear this. There is some really important, very in-depth information up there that shows that conflict and abuse are not only not the same, but they are being conflated by people who are abusers and dominators and so forth who are coming from a supremacy position, such as Susie O'Hara, who really feel that they are very discomfited, they are very much in pain, but they do not understand the difference between conflict, and that is that it can be very uncomfortable, and actual abuse. And so one of the things I've been thinking about for the last few days, based on this book, it's written by a lesbian woman. She's excellent. She's a creative writer and PhD teacher, but this is a nonfiction book. It's the subtitle here, Overstating Harm, Community Responsibility, and the Duty of Repair. What she says that's pertinent to our moment here is we have a moment here when we could really have, not at this council, I'm going to get to that, when we could really further the discourse and the discussion on what is really harm and privilege and all these things we've been talking about, Drew? But the community responsibility is the part that is about us intervening and saying, you know, hey, these people need to be, real victims need to be heard from, and we need to understand that these people are not real victims, and that discussion has to happen. Almost finished.
I'm sorry, I read up on that. Can you send me the stuff so I'm totally aware of everything
okay.
that's in the book?
And so what I'm concerned with is if we were to organize in the best possible way between now and Tuesday, let's say the kind of messaging that I would like to see come out of this, that I think we would like to see come out of this with tag teams and messaging and a big turnout, I don't think, even given that really great organizing, let's just say we were able to do it, that it would make a difference with this particular group and what they're trying to set us up for.
Uh-huh.
And I've just really given that a lot of thought, so I'm just really hoping that we can really be clear, if we're going to table, that the reason is because we need to make sure that this is an important topic that is not discussed in such a contentious way.
I have no idea, and I really don't want to have this conversation right now. So we can talk about it later. Like I said, if you want to schedule a conversation with me to have that conversation, this is just not the arena that I'd like to do it in.
Well, I'm just saying I hope that if it gets tabled, I'd like to see it tabled, but I'd just like it to be tabled in a way that it's saying this is not going to be a productive place to have this important conversation.
I hear you. Thank you.
And you're saying you don't want to discuss it now?
Right now, no.
Okay, but you want to discuss it before Tuesday? That's just in a few days.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
There are going to be,
you'd be willing,
there's going to be other times to do that.
Yeah,
I really think.
It's like,
that
I don't know why you can talk to me about it either. Like, I'm not going to be the deciding factor or the person that's orchestrating anything, so
What do you mean?
I'm not...
You're not going to be tabling. Is that... I'm just trying to understand.
I don't want to talk about it right now, at least.
Yeah, you don't want to talk about it at all.
The last time you was just respect that and be done.
Okay, well, can I ask, when you say you want to talk to me later, when is later?
Not now, so...
Before Tuesday or
after that? Sure. How about you contact me and we'll figure out a time to maybe have a phone conversation.
Okay, I just wanted to know what you were proposing. Okay.
Yeah, just not here right now.
Okay. All right, thank you.
What time?
5:30. I just have to make an off-the-record comment on recording in general.
Off the record or on the record?
That's off the record.